that true? Listen up. I know firsthand how limited a vessel medical insurance can be. This is why you need reliable medical coverage. Moore Dixon offers comprehensive global insurance tailored for yachts, covering everything from emergencies to routine checkups with flexible options and a single point of contact. Moore Dixon has been voted best health and medical insurance by captains and crew, including myself. Don't wait until the unexpected happens. Get covered today. Visit mdbl.im or email them at inquiries@mdbl.im for a free quote. Hi, everyone. Today, I want to talk about something that's deeply personal, that's reshaping women's life, and that is perimenopause. I'm creating this episode because I am in the middle of it. And I know so many women like me who are going through it, just don't know they are. And perimenopause isn't just physical. It really is life altering. And it impacts everything. It impacts your mental health, your confidence, your relationships, your career. And for those women in demanding jobs like yachting, where we're expected to stay composed and deliver 110 every day, it can feel very, very overwhelming. So I just want to say you're not alone. And I have brought Claudia Petrilli, who's a health coach, who's actually been instrumental in my own journey. And with her, you'll learn expert insights, practical tips, and advice to help you thrive in this phase of your life. So welcome, Claudia, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really looking forward to having you on the show since actually I met you, and I met you at a very, I don't want to say low place, but very confusing time of my life. And that wasn't really that long ago that I found you. And before we even get into the stories, I want you to start with what is perimenopause and what's the difference between perimenopause and menopause for those who maybe is the first time they even heard the word perimenopause.
Yes, that actually is very common. A lot of women don't even know what it is, although in the last few years, it has become more mainstream. So menopause is essentially when you are it's the cessation of periods. You're no longer getting a menstrual cycle. Your ovaries have greatly slowed down production of your sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So perimenopause is the period of time before that, but it essentially can start in your 30s, but some women can experience symptoms a year before menopause or up to 10 or more years before menopause.
Yeah, I mean, it's so when I learned this, because obviously, I mean, not obviously, but for those who know me in the industry, I'm all about cyclical living and teaching people how to take menstrual rest. And I've been doing this like all through my 30s. But even though I was so educated in the menstrual aspect of my life, let's call it the fertility phase of my life, I literally was like, okay, there's fertility and then there's menopause. I, for some reason, forgot about the middle of that journey, which is so important, which obviously I'm in the middle of it. And it kind of caught me by surprise. But now that I'm educated through you and through other sources, and I'm getting the support I need, I'm realizing actually I'm 40, but this didn't start at 40. It actually started when I was 36. Mm-hmm. And I kind of didn't think any of it. You know, I didn't put one and one together because, for example, when I was in my late 30s, things that started shifting was like breast soreness. Mm-hmm. But it was premenstrual week, right? So I was like, oh, well, let's just normalize that. Maybe, you know, this is what's happening now. And then also I was getting my feet were getting super, super hot. So I was like, that's not a hot flash. Like, it's just my feet, right? So I was like normalizing that, even though obviously it's not normal. And then I went to the doctors and they're like, oh, it could be like some other naturopathy or something. Mm-hmm. And then those were like the two main ones. And the other one that I didn't realize it was depression. Mm-hmm. So I went through depression early in my 30s, late 20s, early 30s, due to burnout from working on yachts. Yep. So I left yachting, got a hold of myself, sort out my depression. I was like in a super good, you know, role. And then all of a sudden in my late 30s, depression started comes back. And I was like, what is happening? But I noticed that it was only, it was really the dark thoughts were only premenstrual. Mm. But at that time, I just thought, oh, this must be still related to some trauma. You know, I was just like minimizing really it. And I never thought this has to be hormonal, you know, right. And maybe there's something more to it. So it wasn't until this year that all of a sudden perimenopause was like, hey, I'm coming for you. And I'm coming in. I'm coming in hard. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's like dry eyes. Freaking the feet was like insane, and it wasn't just the feet, now it was like heat on my legs, you know, anxiety, mood swings, like I would cry nonstop, or I would be super angry, and my partner was like, you crazy loca, and I was like, don't even call me that, because I'm gonna like you know,
you feel like, and you're crazy though,
it literally feels like that. So I really thought I was going insane, and I don't know how I ended up finding you. I really think it was like my phone, you know, how they tap into you and all of a sudden like algorithm shows you stuff. This is the only time I'm actually grateful that happened.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden my Instagram is just like perimenopause, menopause. And I was like, what the fuck? But everything made sense. I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. I was like, okay, I need to like educate myself because obviously I don't know anything. And I love that I found your podcast because you know, some things we don't have an hour, you know, or we don't want to put an hour on a podcast. And you had these little snippets of like 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour. I was just like, okay, I can go walk and I can hear. And the more I listened to you, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, no. And I was like dreading this.
Yeah.
And then I signed up for your program. And, you know, there was like grieving and there was anxiety and there was all this confusion. But then on the other side of that, there was empowerment. There was solutions. It was just like, oh my God, I'm back to my old self. And not even my old self, like a whole new me that's even better.
Even better. Yes. Exactly. That's what I hear a lot of women say.
So, you know, it was, it's been a roller coaster. And this roller coaster for me, and we're not even talking about yet medical providers. That's a whole different thing. But this was like 8 months of craziness in my life. And I cannot even imagine how my mom and so many other women went through what I went through in 8 months for years.
Yep.
10, 15 years.
They just kind of dealt with it.
Like, but you, oh my God, you said no something. There's so many divorces. Right. And like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
in that stage of life. I mean, you said something earlier about how you're like, how did I not know about this time frame? And it's not that, it's not your fault. We are not taught this and doctors are not taught this, which we can speak to later, but that time frame is a very huge transformation, we'll say that. It's a nice way of putting it for women after fertility, right? So doctors are really knowledgeable about fertility, those years where you're able to get pregnant, but there's this major gap in medicine where women are not getting the support they need, which is obviously why we're here and talking about this today.
Exactly. So before we get into all the details that you're going to give us, I want to share a story from a chief stew who wanted to be on the show, but she's working. So she sent me her story. So I'm just going to read it because I want to use her words. So she said, her name is Camila. And she said, in 2017, at the age of 40, I started to notice changes in my body. At the time, I didn't think much of it, just migraines, tiredness, and irregular periods. And by the way, I don't have irregular periods. That's what I never thought I was going through, you know, what I'm going through. Like many women, I chalked it up to stress and work. But by 2021, things escalated. I began experiencing loss of concentration, hot flashes, anxiety, massive mood swings, waking up in the middle of the night, and low libido. Being married, I was determined to address the low libido, but every doctor I visited insisted I was fine. My tests came back normal, and I was told repeatedly that I was too young to be experiencing menopause. To make things worse, life threw even more challenges my way. I lost my job, went through a divorce, and was under immense stress. I wasn't eating well and blamed everything I was feeling on my circumstances. I didn't realize that my hormones were the real culprit. At work, the symptoms took a heavy toll. My thyroid became unbalanced, my concentration suffered, and I struggled to pay attention to the little details that are critical in my role as a chief stew. Forgetting things, procrastinating, and missing deadlines became my new normal. Completely out of character for someone known to be sharp and responsible. I was constantly stressed, angry, and irritable, which affected my relationship with the crew. Instead of fostering teamwork, I became disconnected from those around me. I would often break down crying or feel agitated for no reason. I felt like I was losing control of myself, and I yet couldn't understand why. Before my divorce and job loss, I thought I had everything I wanted. So why was I feeling so miserable? I had no answers, and it was a dark, confusing time. After 3 years of struggling without any support, I finally started educating myself and sought the help I needed. Hormone replacement therapy was a game changer. With time, I learned how to support my body through this transition, and life became more manageable. Looking back, I wish I'd been more educated about this phase of life. I also wish I had a doctor who truly listened to me. It wasn't until I opened up to my sister about what I was going through that I learned she had gone through menopause at 42. And my mom had experienced it in her late 40s. The lack of conversation, even within my own family, was startling. This needs to change. Women need to talk about this more, and workplaces, especially in high-pressure environments like yachting, need to provide better support. I believe having access to telehealth doctors specializing in women's health will be a huge step forward. Counselors training hormonal health could also help crew members recognize what's happening and guide them to the right resources. Perimenopause is not just a personal journey. It affects every aspect of your life, including your ability to perform at work and connect with others. My 7-year journey, especially those 3 first years that were unsupported, was a nightmare, and I wouldn't wish on anyone. By raising awareness and normalizing these conversations, we can create a world where women no longer have to navigate this transition in silence. And that's Camila's words. Wow. So, yeah. So that's a story. Hopefully, some of you can relate. I mean, you cannot relate yet. I can tell you, you will. Because if you're a woman and you live long enough, we're all going to go through this. But suffering is an option. Mm. So let's get into the details, Claudia. Yeah. Tell us about timing, the early signs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, this is the period of time before menopause. And a lot of women think, well, I'm nowhere near menopause. And you're probably right. The average age of menopause is 51, but that is not the rule. It can happen earlier. It can happen later, depending on the woman. And there's different factors that can affect that. But perimenopause, like I said, is that time beforehand. Some women won't feel symptoms until a year, 2 years before menopause. But many women, and we're seeing this more and more nowadays, which is why I do what I do, it's happening earlier and earlier. So it can happen in your 40s. It can happen in your mid-30s. And the reason for that is because somewhere in our mid-30s is when our hormones start to decline. That is a natural progression, okay? Years ago, we didn't live to be as old as we are now, right? But in our 30s is when we start to lose estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. But really, progesterone is the first hormone to start to decline. So it's to blame for a lot of the symptoms that you just mentioned in that woman's story. So the PMS, the mood swings, not sleeping, anxiety, overwhelm, brain, you know, cognitive decline, because progesterone is very calming to us. And we need progesterone to balance out the stimulatory effects of estrogen. But make no mistake, and I say this over and over, I feel like I'm always defending estrogen. We need both. We love estrogen. It is such an incredible hormone. Anything that's dry, dry eyes, dry skin, dry vagina, estrogen helps, okay? Even our bones, especially as we get older, our brain health, we need estrogen. However, we need progesterone to balance it out. Hormones don't work in isolation. They work as a team, okay? Have enough of that nice, robust progesterone, we're going to have this unopposed estrogen. And that's where these symptoms start to occur, like the tender breasts, the heavy periods, painful periods, fibroids, cysts, things that grow. Because again, it's stimulatory. So we just need that progesterone to kind of be like, okay, like put estrogen in check. So that is really what is starting this process and why women in perimenopause are starting to feel these symptoms. Now, what also starts to happen somewhere in your 40s, so early 40s, mid 40s, estrogen starts to fluctuate a lot day to day. It could be high, it could be low, it could be high, it could be low. So that can make you feel like you're losing your mind. You're like, I feel good one day, I have energy, my mood is great. But then the next day, I just want to cry and I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to do anything. And that is really because your ovaries, these are your glands that produce these sex hormones, they're slowing down production. But your brain is like, no, 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 keep working, keep working, keep pumping those hormones out. So what happens is it's almost shouting at your ovaries. So you get these surges of hormones, these surges, these surges, these surges. And that can be so tumultuous. It feels tumultuous in your body. And then, of course, that's where these symptoms come from.
And, you know, a lot of these symptoms, like it happened to me where I thought, well, they could be premenstrual symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of like put them aside and thought, that's what that is. It could not be anything else. And especially I see women on boats. I don't know why, but so many have PMS. And so many have PMDD or, mm-hmm. yeah. And a lot of them have endometriosis as well, mm-hmm. which a lot of people obviously don't talk about. But now that I've been talking about this, a lot of women have come forward and say, oh, you know, I have this. And I'm, you know, because if you already have PMS, not your normal, I'm not talking about normal PMS, like real PMS, you know, mm-hmm. Because we all obviously go through that fluctuation no matter what in our periods, but mm-hmm. when you feel like a symptom is making a real difference in your life, right, when you can't function properly, so if you already throughout your 20s and 30s already have irregular cycles, if you already have some sort of PMS, how can you make the difference? What's the distinction between this is my normal, which by the way, is never normal. So you should check it out. Versus like, hey, I'm actually going in, you know, into the transition, which is perimenopause.
Well, I would argue to say that if anybody had those symptoms early on in their 20s or so, they're likely not making enough progesterone, even at that point. So they're probably having anovulatory cycles, which means you're not ovulating and then you're not making progesterone. And then, of course, we can talk about all the toxins in the environment, the stress that we're all under in modern day living that contributes to that. Because when we are under stress, you had mentioned trauma a little while ago. You know, when we have unprocessed trauma, when we are in fight or flight, our body is going to prioritize making the stress hormones like cortisol over your sex hormones because you're in survival mode. And it's just like, we need to keep this person alive. Who cares about ovulation? Who cares about your libido? Who cares about your weight, your thyroid, right? It's just going to keep you alive. And that's what cortisol helps with. So to answer your question, what you will notice is a lot of women may say, oh, I always had like bad periods or I had endometriosis, but in my 40s, things got worse. So you may notice that your PMS is heightened. You may notice that you have more anxiety before your period. Your sleep, maybe you always struggled a little bit before, but now it's even worse before your periods. Maybe you're dealing with hot flashes, more cravings. You may notice your periods are heavier. You know, maybe you have more clotting. Maybe they're just more painful. I know that was something that started to happen for me. I had horrible periods when I was a teen. I started menstruating when I was only 10 years old. And I mean, I was on medication for it. And then, of course, I went on hormonal birth control, which we, of course, can talk about later. But then as I started to make a lot of health changes, because as a health coach, I started to implement better lifestyle and diet and all that, it got a lot better. But then in my mid-30s, when things started to shift, I was like, oh my gosh, why am I getting these really painful periods again? Why are my periods heavy? Why am I experiencing clotting? And that's really what starts that progression of perimenopause.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Because I have listened to that where other providers, medical providers and even health coaches say, usually what you had as a regular in your PMS or whatever before is just going to heighten when you're going through perimenopause. And you mentioned something about cortisol, which is so important because I hear a lot often that people are missing their periods, but especially working on yachts, which is crazy, like 16 hours a day is like a normal day. And it's just, you're constantly on fight or flight. Like literally it's like on all the time. I remember when I left yachting a few years ago, it took me almost 2 years to get out of fight or flight because that was such like my normal. And when I wasn't feeling, which I now know probably is the cortisol, I was like, why am I not, you know, I was like feeling safe, I guess, in my system. It was almost like not okay. I was like, no, I need to be like in the rush and the thing. And it was just, it's interesting that you said that, because I feel like because most of the women in yachts are on that fight or flight, mm-hmm. this is why, and that cortisol is always rising. That's why they probably don't get their periods sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. it makes sense that that would be, even that's usually your regular, but all of a sudden you don't get your period. It's like, that could be probably the answer to that. So we talked about some of the physical symptoms. There's so many. There's like over 179. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's crazy. Yeah. What are the most common ones that you have seen in your clinic often come through?
I would say most women come to us with anxiety. Anxiety, feelings of overwhelm, feeling like they can't adapt to stress. They can't handle it anymore. They're very reactive. Mood swings, mood changes, especially around their period, where they become almost like a monster. They feel like they're yelling at their kids, they're yelling at their husband. They can't function at work. The brain, the cognitive changes that occur, meaning memory loss, an inability to focus. They feel like they can't finish tasks, like they could start something and they can't finish. Just a lot of overwhelm. And then, of course, there's the sleep disruption. That's huge, where women either can't fall asleep or they don't stay asleep. So they wake up in the morning feeling very fatigued, and then they're dragging throughout the day. Change of periods is actually not one of the biggest reasons women come to us. I think it's because women are so used to getting their period. They're used to like painful periods. They're like, ah, whatever. It's one more thing. Women are resilient. You know, we're strong. We know how to deal with pain and, all that. We're so used to it. But when they start to feel that anxiety, that overwhelm, the mood changes, the depression, that is what really drives them to reach out to us, because they're like, this is not my norm. I don't want to feel like this every day. I want to feel good. I want to feel happy most days. I don't want to be yelling at my husband or my kids, right? The other thing is some debilitating, like physical pain, like headaches. A lot of women will come to us because they get like a monthly migraine, or days throughout the month where they have these really bad migraines that, you know, they have to take off of work or they have to lay down for days. You know, then of course there's the weight gain, which nobody wants, but unfortunately that does come with the territory for a lot of women. And even joint pain. A lot of women come to us, they're like, my whole body hurts. I feel achy. Why can't I work out the same way I used to? So yes, like you said, there are a lot of different, symptoms, but those are probably the biggest that we see.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like, not, you're not going to get them all, right? Like, for example, my sister,
hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. My sister has joint pain. I don't, mm-hmm. but then I have dry eyes. She doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, and, but what we both do have is the fact that we were waking up in the middle of the night. We couldn't, our brain was just not functioning. It was like brain fog to the next level, you know? Yeah. And it was interesting because back in the day when I was in my 20s, I was on birth control by choice, not because mm-hmm. anything that I needed to regulate or whatever. But what I noticed was that those 8 years that I was in birth control, they used to call me Dory from Finding Nemo, because my brain just stopped working. Like, yeah. I would have such a short spam of being able to remember things, mm-hmm. you know, in the minute, right? Like, obviously I could remember past stuff, but. And it wasn't until now that that brain fog kind of came back to me. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, and I was kind of, and then I saw a movie. It's called The Pill, I think, or The Birth Pill in Gaia Network. And it was about birth control. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, I think there's a place for everything in life, you know, when it's needed. Great. But I don't think that we're utilizing it to the benefit of women. It actually is probably more harmful than beneficial. And it was in that movie that I realized that actually birth control could cause you brain, you know, fog and all sorts of things. And then mm-hmm. obviously it started happening to me now. Now, thankfully, you know, I'm on HRT and that's not happening anymore. But so, you know, we talked about basically a lot of the symptoms that could be physical, emotional, how that basically could affect you in your relationship, in your career. I think Camila's story really showcased everything. I mean, she went through a divorce, you know, lost a job, you know, in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And yet doctors were like, oh, no, you're fine. So when do we seek help and how can we actually get the help?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, you want to get help when you start to experience these symptoms. You don't want to wait until it's not too late, but I mean, there's never too late. It's never too late to get help, but you don't want to get to that point where you are desperate. Because sometimes at that point, then you will just take anything, right? Like hormonal birth control, which I agree, there's a time and place for certain medications, but a lot of women don't realize that hormonal birth control, it's not hormones. They're synthetic chemicals. It stops production of your own hormones. So the reason why you were feeling that way, and I experienced it myself, I felt horrible on hormonal birth control and I was on it for over 10 years. You know, you don't know what you don't know, right? but it flatlines your hormones. So then in perimenopause, that's when our hormones are starting to decline again. So you do start to feel some of those similar symptoms. So as soon as you feel symptoms, and this is a thing I see with a lot of women, we wait and we wait and we wait and we put ourselves on the back burner, right? Especially if you're a mom, because you put your kids first, you put everybody else in front of you, and that does not serve you. And it certainly isn't going to serve them, right? When you're screaming at your kids, you're yelling at your husband, like this woman that called in, you know, she ended up getting divorced. And I don't know, obviously, all the factors that led to that, but that is actually quite common in midlife because women, they're not feeling their best. Libido changes. So then that affects the relationship. There's so many different factors, of course, but hormones play a big role in both partners, right? Male and female, if you're, you know, you're married to a man. You know, men also have hormone decline. It's not as, I don't want to say it's not as drastic because it can really affect them as well. Their energy, their vitality, their confidence, their libido. You know, a lot of times we talk about women having low libido. Men can have low libido just as much, if not more. It's actually very common, but not enough talk about it, right? Like we don't want to talk about these things because it's embarrassing. And, you know, society tells you something and we just kind of, you know, listen to what we're being told. But, you know, it's just such a struggle. But anyway, going back to finding help, the unfortunate truth is that many doctors are not being taught this curriculum. It's just not part of what they learn when they go to medical school, meaning menopause and perimenopause health and how to support women in this stage of life. They're very knowledgeable about fertility, getting women pregnant, all that. But when it comes to this transition, perimenopause, very few doctors understand it. Many of them just don't know how to treat women. And many of them just do not have the knowledge about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, unless they have gone for further training. So when you talk to your provider, say you love your doctor, somebody you've been going to for years, you want to ask them, you know, what is your experience with perimenopause? Do you have any knowledge about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy? And if he or she says, you don't need hormones, you're too young for perimenopause, or hormones are harmful or cause cancer or anything like that, you'll know right away they are not knowledgeable and they are not for you. They may be a wonderful practitioner. They may be somebody who helped with your, you know, the birth of your children, but they may not be the right practitioner for you in this stage of life. The good news is there are providers out there who do have knowledge about perimenopause and menopause, as well as bioidentical hormone replacement therapy.
Absolutely. And I just want to share my story with the doctor. You know, I go to the top OBGYN in Puerto Rico. Like, there's nobody better than her here, or at least that's what they say. And I was like, she actually does the bioidentical pellets for menopause woman. So I thought, oh my God, this is great. She's going to be able to like support me and we can have this conversation. Well, that was not the case. I went to her and before I got there, I had already started your program. Within like 2 weeks, I read two books, which were The New Menopause, The Brain Menopause. I started your program. I was like, I'm going in all in. My partner was like, you're spending a lot of money. I was like, I don't care. This is my health. Like, you see how crazy I'm getting? I can't handle this. Like, if you can't handle it, I cannot handle it. So, you know, I went with fairly educated on what to ask, what to look for, what I wanted. And literally, I said to her, hey, these are my symptoms. Can we talk about it? And she said to me, you're too young. And literally said, I actually remember I went through with her through, I asked her for all my blood tests that you taught us in the course. And one of the blood tests for testosterone, she didn't want to give it to me. And I was like, but why are you not wanting to give me the test? And she kept telling me, oh, no, because your insurance won't cover. I was like, I don't care. I'll pay out of pocket. And it was, to be honest, that wasn't even true. I actually got it through a different doctor and my insurance did cover it. But what I figured out was that I was more educated than her, and that bothered her. You know, and that I was asking her, I was basically advocating for my health. And I was saying like, hey, I'm not going to take less than this. And you're my provider and you should take care of me. And this is what I'm asking. And let's do the test, you know. And she wouldn't have it. It was almost like this ego thing for her, you know, and I could sense it when we were talking, or I mean, when I was talking, because she basically just like chopped me off. And when I left that, I said, you know what, she cannot be my doctor. Like, I don't want her to be my doctor. She's not supportive of me. So I left, and then it was an uphill battle to actually get a medical provider that I could talk to about this, but that wouldn't want to just give me pellets. And pellets are cash, right? Like, insurance won't cover them. And a lot of providers here in the island give them to you because it's a lot of money up front. But every time I would call them, and they were medical providers, I would call them and say, hey, do you offer anything else apart from bioidentical pellets? They were like, no, that's what we offer for hormones. I was like, oh, okay, no. So it took me three months to finally get one provider, which I didn't even find out about her until I went online on this menopause telehealth websites. And the problem was that even though we're U.S. territory here in Puerto Rico wasn't in a lot of the of these websites because they didn't have a medical provider from the island. It just so happens that one of them did. And then I reached out to her and say, hey, do you have an office here? She said, yes. So I went to her and I was surprised that, I mean, it's a private office, but I was surprised that she actually sat with me for an hour.
Nice.
And we talked, and she had a little note, like a notebook, and she would just write everything down. And instead of shaming me, telling me like, oh, you're too young, she was like, yep, this is normal at this stage of life. And what I did realize was that my OBGYN, you know, she's like 60s. My medical provider now is 45. And she said to me, Mariana, I didn't get anything taught in school about this. I'm teaching myself as I'm going through it myself.
Wow.
And you know, I said, okay, I'm not with an expert, you know what I mean? But we're going to go together through the journey. And it's, at least she's going to be willing to listen to me. And I have, you know, contact with her as I'm obviously on the hormones, just like emailing her and then back and forth. And for me, you know, I think that's more important than getting the right thing, you know, given to you immediately, because you feel safe with that provider. So you're like, okay, we can work it out. Like, and like you mentioned in your course, this is not a one-time thing. Like, it takes a little bit of time to get better and feel better and get your dosage right. Obviously, if you're going with the bioidentical hormones route. And for me, I was lucky enough that within 2 weeks, I actually had no more symptoms.
Yeah, which you is felt not really good.
Normal for a lot of women. Like
it helped me that pretty quickly too. But like I always say the same thing to clients. Like sometimes it does take time. Yeah.
For Camila, the girl that I share her story, she told me that it took her about 6 months to start feeling better. She could feel a little bit better, but not like immediately. But after 6 months, she was like, okay, I'm good. Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, this is the reality, right? It's not just one thing or the other. So what are those, let's actually talk a little bit about HRT, because we kind of been talking about it, but not probably a lot of people don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I call it hormone replacement therapy, but to get specific, because there is a lot of confusion around it, I'd like to use the word bioidentical so that women understand these are hormones that have to be synthesized in a lab. However, they're made from plants. And they mimic the exact molecular structure of the hormones that your body would produce naturally versus synthetic hormones like in hormonal birth control. So even just, let's just quickly talk about progesterone versus progestin. Progesterone is bioidentical. That is what mimics the one that your body makes versus a progestin. Progestin, which is what a lot of doctors will prescribe to women. It does not offer the same benefits, not nearly the same benefits as bioidentical progesterone. Really, all it does is protect the uterine lining from that fluctuating estrogen. So, you know, when you do seek out a specialist and if you go on hormones, you want to make sure that they're bioidentical. So essentially hormone replacement therapy is replacing what's lost in the body. And as we age, we start to lose those hormones, like I mentioned earlier, and replacing them can be quite life-changing for a lot of women, as you're hearing. I started hormone replacement therapy, I think I was 40 when I started, but prior to that, I was dabbling in some over-the-counter products because I was desperate. And doing this work that I've been doing for over a decade, I knew the power of hormones. And I knew that based on my history, the fact that I started menstruating really young, that I was starting perimenopause in my mid-30s. And I actually wish I would have started earlier on prescription hormones because it would have saved me a lot of grief and just like overwhelm and anxiety and all the symptoms that came with it. And, you know, running a business, you talk about all these women who are working all these hours and, you know, running a business, being an entrepreneur is not easy, as you know. And I was dealing with these symptoms while supporting other women. And I almost was feeling like a hypocrite. Like, what is going on? Like, I feel lousy and I'm teaching women how to support their bodies, but yet I'm not feeling my best. So, you know, that didn't last very long because I am not somebody who just sits and like accepts that. Obviously, that's why I'm a health coach. Like, I believe in prioritizing yourself, prioritizing your health, and feeling the best that you can possibly feel. And that is what hormones really help you do. Now, you shared how it took you a couple of weeks and you started to feel better. Same with me. It was very quickly that I started to notice the effects of the hormones. And I really do believe that that has to do with where you're starting foundationally, meaning what's your diet like going in? What's your stress level? Are you optimizing your sleep? What's your, you know, what does your nutrient status look like? You know, from working with us, we test our clients' nutrients via a hair tissue mineral analysis to see what are your minerals looking like? Do you have enough B vitamins on board? Are you supporting detoxification? What is your gut like? Are you pooping every day to metabolize hormones, to detox properly? So if you don't have all the other health foundations in place, I do believe that it will take you longer to feel good. And you may not even feel very good if you're not doing that piece, right? So I do want to let women know that hormone replacement therapy is amazing and can really help because we're replacing our God-given hormones. However, don't think that you could just replace hormones and not make any food changes, any lifestyle changes. There's no way around it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up because lifestyle is such a big piece of this. And I remember when I joined your program, I was like, oh, thank God I have the lifestyle down. Like, this is going to be good. You know, I'm not starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. I have to say that if I would have been on board working on yachts like I did for 16 years, I would have not had the lifestyle down whatsoever because obviously I would have been on a massive, stressful job, you know, a lot more stressful than any other job, even as an entrepreneur, you know. And the, you know, the food choices that you have on board are very different than when you're cooking for yourself. And, you know, you mentioned how mothers usually tend to put obviously other people first. And that's when they don't really get the help they need immediately. And that's really what happens on board because a lot of the women, even though they may not have children, they do play the archetype of the mother. Okay. Constantly nurturing others, always about prioritizing everybody else, which in nature, that's part of the job because obviously it's hospitality and you're, you know, it's like high end hospitality is all about, you know, the service. And that does come with that price if you don't have good boundaries. So talking about lifestyle, what are those things that will support obviously that HRT is part of it, but what are the lifestyle changes that we should be making in order to support this transition that we may be going through?
Yeah, I'm always going to tell women to start with their food. What are they putting in their mouth every day, right? And you know, we've talked a lot about even getting, you know, ample protein into your diet. A lot of women are not getting enough food in general. Most women are under eating when they come to see us. So they're in a caloric deficit, like almost like a permanent one. And they don't even realize it. They're just not eating enough food. So they're not having that energy. They're not getting the nutrients from their food. So what you eat really matters. So you want to make sure that you're getting enough protein in every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. You want to be careful with fasting, especially if you have anxiety, if you have a lot of stress, if you're not feeling well. I would not do a long fast because that can add more stress to the body. There's a time and place for it. Even just like a simple overnight 12-hour fast can be really beneficial to us. I'm not a fan of these long fasts for most women. Especially in the perimenopausal years when we're fluctuating so much, oftentimes we don't know when our period's coming. So it's kind of hard to plan around that. You know, and then eating enough fiber. So you're really good at getting enough vegetables and fruit into your diet. Because that fiber is not only going to support your gut, meaning it will feed the beneficial bacteria in your gut, but it's going to help sustain and balance your blood sugar along with protein. And it's going to help you eliminate, right? You want to be pooping every day. We talk a lot about poop with our clients, because if you're not eliminating on a daily basis, you're going to recirculate the hormones that you're getting. And we need the hormones, but we need to use them and then lose them. They need to be coming out of the body, right? They get metabolized and they come out of your poop, your urine. So a lot of women come to us with constipation. So we have them ramp up their fiber, make sure they're, again, eating enough protein, moving your body, right? I think these women probably get a lot of movement. So I don't think I have to tell you about that. But walking, getting a certain amount of steps every day is really important. They're probably lifting heavy things, so they're doing a little bit of strength training, so that's great. Optimizing sleep, you know, prioritizing it. I get it. When you're working these really late or long hours, sometimes we put our sleep on the back burner, but can you prioritize it where even maybe you're getting a little bit more, whether it's half an hour of more sleep or an hour more, or just making sure that it's quality sleep where you're actually getting into a deep sleep. I don't believe that everybody needs to get 8 to 9 hours, though some women do. Some women really benefit from more. But even if you get 6 hours of really good deep sleep, that can be so restorative for you. So what did I say? Food, movement, sleep, you know, stress. You know, unless you're living on like an isolated island somewhere by yourself, I don't think anybody's going to avoid stress nowadays. We all have it, but it's more about how are you reacting to that stress? And are you making more stress for yourself? Are you getting involved in things that are not yours to worry about, to handle, right? Especially as women, we want to take care of everybody. We want to fix things. It's not our job. We have to fix us because it's like a ripple effect, right? When we're healthy mentally, physically, we're going to spread that energy, so to speak, right? We're going to be kind to others, compassionate to others. We're going to help them just in our energy exchange. But, you know, if you're constantly allowing other people's drama and their problems to get into your life, then you're going to end up trying to fix them. And then what happens? Your health gets put on the back burner, right? I mean, boundaries are a must in perimenopause. And loving boundaries, right? You don't want to necessarily cut people off. You don't want anything like that. Never be mean, but you can do it in a loving way for sure.
Absolutely.
What else can I say?
Go ahead. I just wanted to bring in the piece of cyclical living, because I don't think it's often talked enough. And this is obviously something I'm very passionate about, because since I, you know, over 10 years that I started really living life and practicing cyclical living, which I feel is natural to us, is how we should really be living. And what cyclical living really is planning your life throughout your cycle. You know, like we cycle every week, we cycle every month. So we're the same way, you know, our menstrual cycles, we should also cycle in how we do life. So I felt that when I joined your program, that I had that lifestyle almost there because I had that cyclical living in place. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that gave me a lot of I was connected to my menstrual cycle. I'm connected to my menstrual cycle because of living cyclically, which I think that a lot of people are so disconnected from their menstrual cycle. And then all of a sudden perimenopause hits and it's like, oh, what's happening? And then it's like this, you have to kind of go back to the basics, right? Mm-hmm. To reconnect with that part of you. So can you talk about that piece of how to bring in cyclical living and the importance of it in not only obviously this part of our life, but probably before then, because a lot of women that are maybe listening to this are in their 20s still, and they're mm-hmm. like in their, you know, period, fertility years, let's say.
Yeah. So there's four different phases of your menstrual cycle, although some people will say it's two, but I technically say it's four. So the first half is your follicular phase. The second half is your luteal phase. Then you have the ovulatory phase and then your menstruation, right? Your period, which is when you bleed. So a normal or regular cycle is 28 days. That's not the rule. Some women have shorter cycles, some have longer cycles. I always tended to have longer cycles. And it's really getting in tune with your body and how you feel, because our hormones are fluctuating, right? When you first get your period, those first 4 or 5 days, your hormones are pretty low across the board, estrogen and progesterone. But then as the period ends, your estrogen starts to slowly rise to get ready for ovulation. If you ovulate, which is very spotty in your perimenopausal years, then you make progesterone and then estrogen starts to decline and then it comes up and then they both decline when you're going to get your period again. So there's already those fluctuations in our menstrual cycle, which, you know, a lot of people joke around about. It's like, oh, we're crazy. I have all these like different, you know, personalities. It's actually really beautiful. And it does allow for us to get more in tune with our body and shift how we do things, right? So during your period, you know, those hormones are lower. You're going to feel more tired. You're maybe going to feel a little bit more withdrawn. So is that a time for you to do more self-care, sleep more, you know, whatever it is to give, you know, to give your body what it needs. And then as you start to get ready for ovulation, you're probably going to feel more energetic, a little more flirty. Maybe your libido is going to be higher. So then you go out a little bit more. You're maybe a little more extroverted. And then, you know, those 2 weeks before your period, you may have a little more PMS. You may find that you have cravings. So make sure you're eating enough. And this is something I see a lot. As I said earlier, a lot of women are under eating in general. So those 2 weeks before you get your period, listen to your body. Those cravings mean that you're not getting enough of something, okay? And that could be you're not getting enough protein, enough carbohydrates, enough healthy fats. So make sure that you are eating enough and listen to those cravings. You know, you don't want to be reaching for all the unhealthy foods because that's just going to exacerbate your symptoms. So, you know, a lot of women will say, oh, I crave chocolate before my period. No problem. Then have some nice quality dark chocolate on hand so that you're not binging on like some, you know, junky cookies or something like that. And I'm not saying that you can never indulge. It's just that if you're not feeling well, you want to give your body what it needs to thrive. You don't want to make your symptoms worse, right? And a lot of these foods, sugar, processed foods, alcohol, those can all make your symptoms a lot worse.
Absolutely. Thanks you for sharing that. How can people work with you?
Yeah. So, well, you can go to my website, claudiapetrilli.com, and that's where all the different ways that we can support you are listed. So we have some courses. I just started creating some other smaller offers for women who just kind of want to dip their toe in, get to know me a little bit. But we do have a flagship program. It's currently called the Hormone Rescue, but we're actually changing the name to the Perimenopause Method as of January 2025, because perimenopause, as you know, is just such a challenge time for women, and we wanted to really support women in that stage of life. So Marian did the program, she can speak to it. So we're making some updates there, but you can also learn just more about what I do and perimenopause in general on my podcast, Perimenopause Simplified. We launched that in February, and it's been really helpful to a lot of women. Short episodes with just a really nice amount of valuable information that is evidence-based. I really do my best to share information you know, from that's based in science, and but also, you know, what I see clinically and even personally. I share a lot of my personal struggles with perimenopause and just health in general. And then lastly, you can hang out with me on Instagram. I'm at Health Coach Claudia.
Thank you for sharing that. And all this information is below the video, so you can just click, click, click away and get all you need. So again, Claudia, thank you so much, not only obviously for supporting me in my journey, but coming here and sharing all your experts' insights and tips. And yeah, just normalizing more and more the conversation, because I think this is one of the biggest things, like talking about it, like just being okay with saying, hey, this is happening to me. How are you feeling? What's happening to you? And then we can get the help that we need. So take what you need, leave what you don't. And yeah, hopefully these will be very helpful to you in your future journey or in your current journey, and share it with as many women and male, because everybody needs to be educated around this topic so they can be supportive of this transition. And yeah, I'll see you on the next show. Thank you, Claudia.
If you find today's discussion eye-opening and helpful, don't forget to subscribe and share. We would love to hear your thoughts on this topic, so reach out to us on social media via Yachting International Radio or Yachts Mermaids. Let's continue the conversation.